CBSI in the World, I'm John Batchelor, speaking with Elaine Dzensky of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, who guides me specifically in an article she's published in Barron's to the trouble that China's loans have created in the world for China and also for the recipients, the debtor nations. We go to Ecuador, built near a spewing volcano. It was the biggest infrastructure project ever in this country. This is the Wall Street Journal reporting in January of this year. The biggest infrastructure project ever in this country, Ecuador, a concrete colossus bankrolled by Chinese cash and so important to Beijing that China's leader Xi Jinping spoke at the 2016 inauguration. Today, writes the journal, and you know the payoff is Graham Greene's scale, thousands of cracks have emerged in the $2.7 billion Coca-Cola Sinclair hydroelectric plant. Government engineers said, raising concerns that Ecuador's biggest source of power could break down. At the same time, Coca River's mountainous slopes are eroding, threatening to damage the dam. Elaine, I don't think we have to do much more analysis of this. China threw $11 billion into a dam that does not work, into a country that is broken and in the midst of a constitutional and presidential crisis. The opportunity to get the money back is zero, and they're making rescue loans to Ecuador. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is such a great example. And I love this example because it's also in the Western Hemisphere. You know, sometimes we have this perception that these projects are taking place in parts of the world that are so far away that maybe we don't feel the effects. But the impact of Chinese investment, political influence, these types of infrastructure projects, the use of corruption, yet again, in our own backyard is so problematic because it affects our ability to engage more broadly in Latin America. So I want to make that point that I think we have a larger problem in the Western Hemisphere, which is the summation of many projects, just like this one in Ecuador, but dealing with port infrastructure, with mining of critical minerals, even overfishing across the seaboard, the Pacific seaboard of Latin America, which is primarily a problem with Chinese fishing operations. So we see these different aspects of the problem creeping into engagement in the Western Hemisphere. But more specific to Ecuador, it is really a prime example of what's happening because of the impact of this project. And as you pointed out, the political implications of this and this infrastructure being a very critical part of service delivery for Ecuadorians. So it's amazing that this project would get to a point of near failure. But it's again this example of the perfect storm of bad lending to a government that was happy to go for this, sort of opaque style of engagement with Beijing, but now has some serious problems as a result of that. And so does China. And that's something that we need to keep talking about because there's a window of opportunity to make these problems known and ultimately to put forward a better way of meeting these needs.
Another article you linked to, this is from the summer of 2022 in the New York Times. Jewel in the crown of corruption, the troubles of Kenya's China-funded train. This will be very familiar. 5 years after its launch, the railway has become associated with debt, dysfunction, and criminal inquiries. And it is now a lightning rod in elections. So having wrecked Ecuador's trust in its governance, I'm now participating in wrecking Kenya's trust in its governance. And Elaine has links to many countries. No one will be surprised by this short list. Pakistan, Egypt, Venezuela, Kenya, I've mentioned, Sri Lanka. Elaine, now I understand what I was reading about when Sri Lanka blew up, I guess, at the end of last year. They built a port that nobody uses. They built an airport that nobody uses. They're sitting there as white elephants. And then they make a port call thinking that we're now going to claim Sri Lanka on our side. This is the Chinese Communist Party. And now at the time, I treated it as a geopolitical matter. But really, now that you've taught me, the People's Bank of China and the Exim Bank and the other banks that they have, they're all one big bank. They're all pouring money into Sri Lanka now to rescue the loans that they know can never be repaid from an airport and a port that are useless.
Right, right. And in the case of the port, you know, at one point, I think they actually seized the asset, which is problematic for many reasons, as you've outlined. But let's lay another challenge on top of this, which is maritime port infrastructure is absolutely critical to China's model for engagement globally, for furthering its trade lanes, its trade relations, and making investments in port infrastructure, whether it's outright ownership of ports or investments through the BRI. There are different ways that this is done, has created a network across the globe of port facilities where, you know, Chinese technology is used to take containers off of ships, to scan containers for the content. They have logistics software that actually tracks all the data and the information around the shipments. So these investments are not only problematic because they're putting countries at risk, but this infrastructure over time becomes part of a broader network that can be utilized by China, not only for commercial purposes, but ultimately for military purposes. And if they're controlling these environments, it's going to be very difficult to understand what's coming in and out of these ports.
Is Washington aware of the scale of this problem?
I think that it's a much better awareness than it was even 2 or 3 years ago. People are certainly waking up to these risks. The question is what to do about it. And here's where we need to use the power of U.S. interests, of U.S. capital, U.S. innovation, Western companies that will come in and negotiate the right kinds of deals, Western capital, to focus on transparency, focus on anti-corruption, and offer a better way to bring the infrastructure that these countries.
Elaine Dzensky of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.